Welcome back to the Patriots Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, July 27th, right here at Gillette Stadium, and I'm Lori Baranski bringing you Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo, giving you all the latest transactions on the Patriots roster.
Okay, thanks very much, Lori. We've got the full crew for the roster report as we near 1 week, as we are 1 week from the start of training camp, and a couple of transactions that the Patriots made this week. I guess everybody back from maybe some of their vacation and ready to hit the ground running. Two guys named Brown, Troy Brown, Chad Brown, both officially signed back on this week. Troy Brown, no surprise. We knew about that last week. We've known about it for a while, or anticipated it for a while, and that became official. But then on Thursday, they re-signed Chad Brown, linebacker Chad Brown, who was here in 05, and then during the training camp of last year. Was this a move that any of you guys expected, and do you think that this is a move that with a guy who could make the 53-man roster?
Well, it was expected.
Everybody kept writing it was going to happen. Honest with you, still can't figure out why.
No. I don't either. I can't see any way he makes the team. You're talking about a Steelers defense last year that everyone lit up like a Christmas tree the second half of the season. Guys were hurt. He still couldn't get on the field and play. And that wasn't an inside linebacker. That was an outside linebacker where he used to be very good. He's a 37-year-old player who hasn't played well in 3-4 years. I don't think he makes it through training camp.
I agree with Tom. I think that it's nice to, you know, sit there and just write a guy's name down and say, well, you know, he'll add some extra depth there, you know, in the 3-4. But I'm not really sure how much depth he really provides, because I don't think that he is capable of playing, say, any better than a guy like Eric Alexander on the inside now. I agree with Tom. He'll probably be on the outside. But out with the old, in with the
I'd
new.
Rather
you know,
have Pierre Woods.
Exactly. Well, I'd rather give a guy like that a shot, or you know, one of these young kids, Justin Rogers, who knows? I don't know anything about these guys, but I'd rather give them a shot, the unknown, rather than a 15-year retread.
Without being disrespectful, I think he's camp body. I think he's a guy who they have a relationship with. He's a guy who clearly is not ready personally to walk away from the game, and you know, they had some contact. My guess is initially, or on some level, the Patriots' contact was for their emergency list in case seven guys get hurt in November.
Yeah.
They found out he'd like to be in camp. Maybe it's a favor to him just having I truly think there's no difference between Chad Brown and Zach West or one of these other undrafted free agent types who are on the roster.
I'm glad there was no disrespect intended.
He was a very productive player at one point in his career.
I
said this to Tom this morning. There are certain images that will last in my mind forever, and Chad Brown getting run over like I've never seen a player in the history of football against the Denver Broncos. I have never seen feet in the air with a guy. I've never seen anything like it. Never. On any level.
Particularly a player of his stat. I mean, he was a pretty good
player. But beyond that, I've never seen it anywhere. And that show, Joe's versus Pros, I never saw a Joe get run over by a pro like that.
And he's a nice guy. I mean, we've all talked to him.
He's a very nice guy.
I mean, he's a guy you'd like to root for. At this point in his career, it's not like Seau last year. I just don't think there's any chance of this happening.
He is a nice guy. And you know what it's to the point of, I feel like, is the Brett Favre thing, where we watch Brett Favre and say, oh, it's too bad. He used to be a great player. Chad Brown's
not holding anybody
player.
Back, though.
No, but Chad Brown, you know, you kind of want to remember him as a guy who could wreak havoc on the outside of a defense, not a guy who's getting ass over tea kettle on his back against the Denver Broncos.
I agree.
And the makeup of the linebackers right now, you know, you got your the top five, those five veterans, and then you've got these other guys, some of the younger guys, Eric Alexander, Pierre Woods, Corey Mays, who we mentioned, and some of the rookies of this year. Where he would fit in the mix of that is really it doesn't look good for him. But you know, maybe he comes to this training camp, maybe he does open some eyes, and maybe he latches on somewhere else, another team able to or willing to give him a chance. So we'll see how that plays out. He broke his hand, right? Broke his hand last year during training camp. And was cut before the season, but certainly had his ups and downs in 05. Now, Troy Brown, again, we talked about it last week. We've talked about it for a while, so no surprise. He'll be in the mix, joining the four big newcomers, Randy Moss, Dante Stallworth, Wes Welker, Kelly Washington, and then Caldwell, Gaffney. So obviously wide receiver will be quite an interesting position. They started signing their draft picks. Six of the nine draft picks signed over the last week. Absolutely no surprise in any of that. But no word on Brandon Merriweather. Any thoughts that you guys have? We're now 1 week before training camp on where that stands.
He'll be here.
Yeah, I don't really have much concern. Andy went through it, I think, on Wednesday on our PFW in Progress show. It wasn't you this Wednesday because you weren't here. But anyway, they're all slotted. The chances that late in the first round. Now, you see funny cases like right. Joe Staley.
And we've talked about
– I mean, not right. Joe Staley. Joe Thomas. Wow, I'm having a tough day. At the top of the round. But I just don't see a 24th pick who's probably going to get about what Jonathan right. Joseph got in that slot last year for Cincinnati. Give or take, you know.
And there's still only
add a 6% raise.
Yeah, add a little bit for cost of living raise or whatever, you know, they call it in NFL circles. And I think he'll get done.
And there's still only two or three first-round picks around the league who have signed. And it was Greg Olsen and Joe Staley as well,
yes.
right, signed.
I believe he did.
So it's probably just a matter of getting
the
ball rolling.
And the one thing, people might be saying, well, why have we had, you know, like situations like Benjamin Watson in the past? We have had some examples of the first-round pick not agreeing to terms. The difference now is the CBA dictates the terms. So they can't give, you know, that was the sticking point that year was they tried to make Watson sign a six-year deal. They did actually make him sign a six-year deal. So that's not in the cards this year.
And Kareem Brown and Mike Elgin are the others among the 2007 draft class.
Elgin's really driving a hard bargain.
Yeah,
Mike Elgin's holding out for a $30,000 signing.
Yeah, those seventh rounders are really really looking to make it big. Now, when they
Tom,
sign,
you're high on Elgin. You like him?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good technician. I don't know if there's a place for him on this team. There's a lot of depth there at interior line. But just from rookie minicamp, he was a guy that stood out as a good technician, Mark Stepnoski type of, you know, light guy.
Surprising
well,
that he compared him to a cowboy.
Right, no, he was a center who played the exact same weight as Mike Elgin, who was a technician type guy. That was my... There's not too many of them. And,
trouble is, he's half the size of Kyle Brady.
Yeah, and the other thing
I didn't say he's going to be a superstar. I said he's a guy
he was
to
a
watch.
Technician.
Yeah, technician, practice squad guy. Maybe in 2 years you have a fine. Well, that's
we can
all.
Spin
I'm
off
saying.
The access, unlike anybody else, can't we?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But the one thing I would say about the offensive line, Tom, you brought it up. I don't know if he has a spot on this team. I agree with you because it's amazing. And I did the offensive line for the training camp preview. How many of those backup guys have started? It's you know it's not just like Russ Hochstein, who you remember from the
you
Super
like
Bowl against Carolina.
Billy Yates.
All of them. I mean, Billy Yates
West
started
Britt.
Three games. Wesley Britt started a game last year. You know, Ryan O'Callaghan and Kadjer, they've both started. I mean, they almost all of those guys have started at
battle.
Least once.
Right.
O'Callaghan
and Kadjer, I think, will be an interesting little matchup.
Right.
But, and I would throw Wesley Britt in that mix, too.
But we're pretty, you know, as far as the offensive line is concerned, there's six or seven guys who – most likely are making this team.
They're locks.
And
yeah.
then they have these three draft picks and I think a few others who will really have their work cut out for them, and that's what the practice squad is for, I suppose. And also on Thursday when they signed Chad Brown,
good supposition
the Patriots
released. There,
yeah. You like
good
that?
Supposition. Always offensive lineman on the practice squad.
How about that? And especially now they've gone, you know, the last couple of years
newly
from five
expanded,
practice squad guys
expanded.
To eight. The newly expanded practice squad. They also released three players when they signed Chad Brown. Cornerback Antoine Spann. I'm guessing we see him again at some point. He's just one of those guys.
I see. He winds up on the Jets.
He's not going anywhere. Oh, yeah?
I don't know.
He'll be on the Jets in 2 days.
He never gets cut before camp.
Yeah, I guess when you get cut at this point.
I think all these cuts had to do with numbers.
Right. Jonathan Smith, hint,
81.
Jonathan Smith.
Did you like 81?
He'll be starting for the Bills.
And then Jake Norden. Jake Nordine.
He'll be starting nowhere.
And Antoine Spann.
What'd you say about Jonathan Smith, Tom?
He'll be starting for the Bills.
Back
he'll be
to the
back
Bills.
In Buffalo playing.
He's on that shuttle,
team.
The Buffalo. Yeah. Like the Red Sox have the Boston to trip Boston to Pawtucket.
Yeah.
He's on the
You're
Buffalo
the,
Boston.
The Bills are minor league team.
No. Maybe I'm calling the Patriots minor
Ralph
team.
Wilson on line one for Brian Lowe.
So those are the transactions. Really those are the transactions the Patriots made. And as we said, 1 week until training camp begins. Did you make that, Andy?
No.
God,
yes.
No.
Oh, okay.
Ralph
but,
Wilson would be still trying to figure out if that was a shot that he took at him or not. I really didn't understand it.
Can you play that drop? No? Okay. Anyways, we'll be back next week as training camp begins and the roster report never ends. It's every Friday. And I'm sure – what do we have coming up next week with training camp? Patriots in
practice.
PFW in progress on Wednesday. And
daily
and then,
podcast practice reports where we would tell you everything that happened.
I missed two.
Missed two.
On the practice field behind Gillette Stadium.
Beautiful. You
and
get it
we'll
all.
Probably be
text
blogging
updates,
every second of training camp, what's going on, who's wearing what, helmets.
Who's
everything.
Wearing what? Who's wearing what?
Who's taking a tinkle break in the
Is that
of
right?
Practice?
Okay, well, you know, the Port of Johns, I'm sure, are set up by now, and we can have someone on that beat. That'll do it for this roster
Mercifully,
report.
Thank God.
For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's go back to Laurie.
Thanks once again, guys. Don't forget to keep joining us every Friday right here on Patriots.com for a brand new Patriots Ross Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!